Hello out there, and welcome to the Danny
and Rihanna Show. This is Danny Pena, Rihanna's husband.
And this is Rihanna Emanuel Pena, Danny's wife. And today we're going to talk about something that came up, I want to say maybe 2 weeks ago now, but still relevant. And in fact, very relevant as we're getting into award season and judging season and the time when people are really putting together their list for the games that they think deserve recognition and honor. We talked a little bit more about that in our episode of Gamertag Radio this past week, but we wanted to dig a little bit deeper into how game codes are distributed and how creators and channels are chosen to receive preview and review codes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be a great conversation because I know, we know a lot of companies that are still trying to figure things out because, you know, every few years, the way how companies been distributing codes or opportunities for creators has been changing a lot, especially nowadays has been changing. So we're going to be talking about that. And also at the second half of the show, we'll talk about creators, how they could also get connected with companies and build that relationship that hopefully they will get opportunities and not only get reviews, maybe attend an event, maybe an interview, etc. So we'll talk about a lot about that stuff.
Yeah, and that's a perfect setup. So first off, I'm going to kind of jump into my marketer seat and the side of the game companies. So this is the publisher or the developer who are making a game and trying to figure out who they want to play it early for either review, preview, or even maybe some feedback. So number one, the marketer or analyst who is on the team will do research. They are going to look up the type of game genre that is the game that they're making. They're going to look up other games that are similar to it, or if it's a sequel, look up other games in the series and figure out who played it and who liked it. It is very obvious why a marketer would want people who are already fans of this type of game to be the ones to review it. They don't want to give a, you know, narrative text adventure solo player a multiplayer shooter and ask them to review it because that is so far outside of what they're used to playing. They may A, not have the context to be able to judge it fairly, or B, not be naturally inclined to enjoy it. And of course, you want people to review your game who would probably play it on their own if they didn't have the review copy. So that's number one. And it's pretty interesting that across the board, all of the different places where I have worked and all the different clients I have consulted with, there is no one way to do this research. A lot of people go to Twitch and they search who's streaming it, or they go to YouTube and see who's made any sort of breakdown videos or let's plays in that type of game. And you know, it can really be quite difficult for people on the game publisher and developer side to find good fits. And that's part of the reason why a lot of times a publisher or PR team will rely on long-term relationships, because they already know those gamers and those content outlets and what they like. So for that, I'll pass it over to Danny, because you mm-hmm. are one of the longest-term game mm-hmm. content creators in the business.
Yeah, and here's a couple of the mistakes that I've seen from companies where they will probably, and not every company is like this, but I remember there was one time, and I'm not going to mention the name of the creator or the name of the company that have done this, but it was a popular game that was coming out, and this creator is very popular. His or her number is very, very high when it comes to that on multiple places, YouTube, Twitch, all that stuff, right? And while they were playing this game, they didn't know anything about the series, how to play the game. So it looked kind of awkward watching that stream. And I think that's a mistake, you know, when companies are, they're trying to find creators to talk about their games, and they'll go to someone that has a lot of numbers, but they're not a fan of the series. Mm-hmm. Like you said, I think it's good to find people that are fans of the series. It doesn't matter if their numbers are high or low. I personally would like to see potential creators, like, okay, this creator doesn't cause trouble, they create great content, maybe we could give them an opportunity. It doesn't even have to be like for them to get the games early, maybe the day of or something like that. Or even after launch, you could do that too. And just test it out to see how's that going to work with certain creators that you work with. They're brand new and stuff like that. So, but I think it is important to find fans of the game that knows about the story, that create great content, that have conversation. Like, I've seen videos of, like, let's say, Alan Wake 2. You know, even before it came out, there was creators that were creating content about the story, the connecting story with other previous games of Remedy. And I bet they created even more stuff when Alan Wake 2 came out because they got the opportunity from Remedy or an agency that gave them that code. You know, so I think that is very important. Find people that are fans of the game or they're talking about it on social media. Not only talking about it, but like maybe they're like nonstop hype about it. You know, I think it's important to have that relationship with those fans.
Yeah, then I'll just jump in there real quick before you move on to publishers that just have their people that they work with long term, mm-hmm. Like yourself. And add one more thing about the timing that you just kind of hit on, where it's really, really beneficial for a marketing team if they can find, let's say, somebody who does Alan Wake or Control or Remedy Universe lore videos. They may not be like a Let's Play gamer or like a Twitch streamer, but they might get a review code because they want to develop their lore breakdown or story breakdown early and ahead of time, so that way it's ready for players to go and check it out when the game releases or right after. So that's another type of creator that sometimes marketing and publishing teams are looking for when they're doing their research, is somebody who's going to provide additional videos and content that can be consumed by people at release, because it makes that experience more fun, right? It's wiki guides writers or people who are doing walkthroughs, maybe not necessarily creators in the sense that they're playing the game and you're watching them for their personality or their entertainment commentary, but people who make that supplementary type of content around a video game as well. So that's a really good point of another type of creator that a lot of times the developers and publishers are looking for. But please, sorry, go ahead and tell us what it's like to have like that long-term relationship with a publisher.
Yeah, I think that's very, very important. I think, I didn't want to talk about me, but I'll give you a perfect example with my relationship with multiple companies, but I'm going to go with Xbox. I think that's the one that had like the longest relationship with, is between Xbox and Nintendo. But with Xbox, you know, I've been through the good and bad. You know, I provided good feedback, bad feedback on certain things that...
When you say bad feedback, you mean criticism.
Criticism. Yeah. Meaning like, you know, maybe they didn't do it, the team didn't do a great job presenting a presentation, let's say at E3, or the way how, you know, once the company was on top with Xbox 360... They were cutting a lot of budgets for like community, not talking to the folks that actually was out there talking about the product. They cut it off, and I did a open letter. This is like years ago when it was like a really bad year for Xbox with the Xbox 360. Like towards the end of that era, I think it was also during the time where Xbox One was coming out too. I can't quite remember. It was like around that. It was between those two consoles. And Don Matrick at that time was the person in charge. He was like the head of Xbox at that time. And he left. But I was getting a lot of feedback from people within the company and former employees that were like thanking me for doing that, because not a lot of people would do that. You know, everybody, sometimes the fans would just say the good stuff and that's it, never say the bad. But I think if a company's not doing good, it's important to bring that up, because you want for the team to do better. And not only that, when they do better, competition is great overall for the industry. You know, so I did that. And, you know, months later, actually the following year, I got contacted by Xbox for us to sit down with Phil. And this is like the first time Phil was the head of Xbox, Phil Spencer, I mean. And this is the first time that he went to E3 as the head of Xbox. So we sat down with him, and it was a great conversation. You know, I think that's how you build relationships, is just be yourself. Even if there's good moments, bad moments, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just have those relationships with companies. I think it is important, and I think it will open up for more opportunities in the future, because at the end of the day, these companies, studios, anybody that work on the product, they want their product to be the best. How can we make it best if we need feedback, you know? So, but if everybody says just the good stuff, I think there's going to be a lot of missed opportunities from both sides, I think.
Yeah. So from like the company's perspective, which I can speak to a little bit more, is that's where most of my experience is. Having long-term trusted partners, like what you just described, Danny, is crucial, right? It's definitely one of those things that gives more confidence in the choices that the team is making. Mm-hmm. And that's when you see a lot of times creators pulled into a product review process where they'll be part of the actual development of the game, giving feedback before it's final and not just a review. And that's something that takes a long time to gain the trust of a developer in order to do with them or with the publisher, because you have to be a trustworthy, right? And not just trustworthy as though is in you adhere to embargoes, don't leak things, and you hold tight to your NDAs or non-disclosure agreements, but also that you're trusted to give real feedback, like you just said, Danny, and not only sugarcoat things and say, oh, thanks Xbox so much, or thanks Nintendo so much, or thanks whoever so much. I love it. It's great. No notes. You know, that's not useful for a company or a team that's trying to make something better, or that they still have time to make changes, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's when you see people like Danny or Paris or like a Dr. Lupo, like consulting on a game as a preview or as a product review. And that is really, really useful for teams that have to make changes to their experience, especially for multiplayer games, which require a lot of tweaking, a lot of balancing. So that's definitely another type of creator and publisher relationship that you'll see out there, is those long-term trustworthy go-to people that will consistently be in that conversation. And, you know, once they are sort of not in, but once they're sort of brought into a project, they're almost more likely to be brought into every other project too. And this is where it crosses lines of genres, it crosses lines of IP, and it crosses lines of studios, right? This is usually a publisher-wide relationship and not just with one studio in particular. So that's another type of relationship that we see. The third one that we'll talk about today is, like, you kind of touched on it a little bit already, Danny, but the general popularity, right? These are your your ninjas. These are your was XQC? Is that the another one? Sorry, I haven't been on Twitch in a while. These are the really big people that are at the top of the streaming lists. These are the people who do the Let's Plays, the streams, and the competitions. Those are esports professionals. And these are the people who a lot of companies hold the philosophy that if they have big numbers on their view counts, they will help our game get to more people, which is a logical thought process. However, we are seeing that start to kind of go out of style a little bit because of examples like the one Danny gave a few minutes ago, where a streamer was given a game, they started playing it on stream and did not know what they were doing or how to play it properly. And it was a really bad impression on their audience. And that's a very big, bad first impression. And that risk is very, very damaging to a company, especially for a new game that's unknown or a studio that doesn't already have a lot of following or goodwill. And it can really tank a game completely. Once that bad word of mouth is out there, it's hard to course correct. We've seen a few companies do it, but it's tough. And it takes a long time to regain the trust of the audience or the interest of people who have so many other options for what they could be playing instead. And we've also seen, as Danny also touched on a little bit earlier, that some of these smaller audience creators have way higher engagement. If they tell their audience that something's interesting or show them something cool, their audience is more likely to actually go and check it out. Whereas a creator that has a huge following maybe doesn't have that close relationship with their audience to the point where they can assume or encourage them to, you know, change a behavior, like go get something, go buy something, go try something out. And so we're seeing this trend of micro and mini influencer campaigns where a company like Like Apex Legends, for instance. They've just recently done videos with smaller creators, and Respawn is showcasing people who have really great moments playing Apex Legends, and like how it's really like brought them so much joy and like been really fun to share it with their audience. And those videos are really engaging. They have really high engagement. And if you were to go to somebody who maybe hasn't played Apex, but they have a big following, it's hard to fake that, right? That authenticity really makes a big difference. And that personal connection with the smaller audience can help a lot. Especially when you really are trying to connect with people on an emotional level. And that is a welcome change in my eyes. I think the big name creators have their place, do their thing. They're wonderful for the ecosystem, but they're not always the right fit for every game. And sometimes you really want to find a creator that can speak to what it is you're trying to build within your community of players a lot better, because they're closer to it. So yeah. That's like a third type of creator-publisher relationship that you'll see often. And for those people, that again is a result of all of that research.
And it's funny that you mentioned about that creator that was playing that game and they didn't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Dude, the company paid for that stream.
Yeah.
So that's even worse. You know, because I feel like that was a waste of money. You know, if it was me, I'd rather get a mid-tier, maybe even lower than that, creators, where I can invest money on, you know, giving all these codes to all these creators, maybe surprise them, go to like on Twitch and like do a donations like randomly like that, even if they're very small creators, just to give them that boost and that motivation. Like, wow, I'm doing this. Like, you know, it's like, you know, when I started, I got the opportunity to go to multiple events, you know, and that was because both companies gave me the opportunity to attend, and that was different. Like, I think now there's other ways to motivate those up and coming creators, to highlight them when they're, you know, getting emotional, let's say playing at a game, seeing the boss for the first time, or their reaction where they get to see an amazing trailer during the showcase, something like that. I think that's something that's going to motivate a lot of creators to talk about your content and talk about like, hey, I'm highlighted here. Look, the company so-and-so just posted a clip of me reacting to their presentation, you know, something like that. So that's really cool to see, I think. I'm not saying that everybody just fake it for you to get the highlight.
No, please,
but don't. It's good to just be yourself. Like, if it's something that's really exciting, do it. You know, another example, again, wasn't thinking about this, but you know, I'm a huge fan of Alan Wake, huge fan of Remedy, and when I sat down with Sam Lake and his team, Kyle, I was very into the conversation, like talking about the lore about Alan Wake and all that stuff, right? So I posted the video. I just posted a video. I wasn't, you know, didn't know what was going to happen. And a lot of other fans of Alan Wake got to see it. And some of them came up to me in past events like, Danny, as a fan of Alan Wake, thank you for asking those questions. Because a lot, like, the traditional media are not asking those questions of, you know, and I think other creators could do the same, where they're a fan, they know the lore, they will ask questions that nobody else will ask. And the developer or the game director, like, they're going to get excited, like, oh, wow, they know their stuff. You know, I think that's a great way to continue the conversation of whatever game that's coming, you know, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you already kind of gave a little bit of advice sprinkled throughout this conversation, but like we said, the second half of this this episode, you're going to give creators out there some tips and some best practices on what they can do to get noticed and to, you know, market themselves as open for business for previews and reviews.
Sure. I think the number one is, don't worry about the numbers. Don't read the comments, because sometimes the comments can be very toxic, you know. But I think one thing that is very, very important to me is, when you start doing a podcast or video content or live streaming, I think the most important thing is be yourself and don't try to copy other creators just because they've been successful. I've seen stuff where a podcaster copy another podcast doing the same exact thing. They just changed the name and they see that the numbers are not going up, and they're like, well, this is a waste of time. But why is it a waste of time? Because you try to be something that you're not. So the listeners are not going to like that. They're like, it sounds fake, you know? So, but if you're yourself and you consistently just releasing content, eventually people that listen to your show are going to discover you and share with others. And also companies are going to go online and search. They probably put the word of a game, right? And you probably talk about that game, and that's the game that you have in your title of your podcast, of your stream, of your YouTube channel or YouTube video or TikTok. And that's going to give you opportunities, man. You know, don't think about what is trending. Sometimes I release content because I just love that content. I don't go and look for trends. You know, it doesn't matter if it's big or small. If I love something, I'm going to talk about that. And there's going to be other people that are probably in the same shoes that love that type of content, and they're going to search for it. When people search for content, they're searching for a word. You know, they're searching for that game, or maybe the group of people. Maybe they love roundtables. Maybe they love debates. Like, put that in your title and also in under your description. Make it easier for people to find you. Another thing too, which I've seen a lot of community managers talk about this too, Ree, mm-hmm. where they love a creator, right? How they're gonna contact the creator? There's no other information, no email, no nothing. What are they going to do? Reply to in front of everybody? Hey, we would like to send you something. Like, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
That's a huge one. I'm going to double click on that because mm-hmm. as a marketer who has had this exact issue, there are so many people who I'd love to have been able to give an opportunity to, but I didn't know how to get in touch with them, or I tried to DM them and they never replied. And it's really frustrating to see when you know they'd be a great fit for a project and you just can't get that communication up and running.
So how do you manage to contact them then?
You don't. They miss out. Oh. We miss out. We all do.
Oh, my God. That's not good.
Yeah.
Look, I always mention this, and this is like from way back in the days. I always say, make it easier for people to press play. Make it easier for people to find you, to contact you, to engage with you. In different ways, maybe Discord, email, whatever it is, make it easy for people to communicate with you. But if you have it very difficult, like you said, companies are going to move on, the viewers or community are going to move on, and they're going to find something else. Mm-hmm. So I think that is also very, very important to make sure that your contact is out there as much as possible, even if it's in the bio. Have an email or something there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, for so. Danny and Rihanna, for instance, DannyandRihanna.com. You can contact us there. We have a submission form.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And I think the last one for me, I think is also, you know, and we talked briefly about this. Don't just be everything is great and everything is positive. Oh, yeah. My God. Love this game. Love the company. Every single time, even during bad times, that's not good. I think one, you will lose a lot of the community that follow you, viewership or listeners. They see that and then be like, wow, this person is like not keeping it real. Like, what is this? You know,
yeah.
Just because I'm getting free stuff, this person is being super positive about everything. You know, so that's not good. And also, it hurts the company where they work with a creator and the creator is just everything is positive. You know, I think that's not good. Another one, this is like a bonus for me personally, mm-hmm. is try not to attack other creators on different things. So like if a creator gets an opportunity and you don't go out there and just start a fight online just because you didn't get an opportunity or talk about it online. I think that's very tacky. Doesn't look good on you. You know, there's opportunities where I've seen Paris or friends of mine that they probably been at, you know, at a trip or at a studio and I didn't get an opportunity. I'm like, you know what? Hey, I didn't get an opportunity. It's fine. Hey, my friends got it. That's cool. You know, maybe I'll have a conversation with them. Maybe I'll invite them to the show to talk about that game or the experience.
Love
and stuff
that
like
solution because that also will put you on the radar of the people who mm-hmm. made the decision, and maybe next time around you be in the running.
Yeah, cross promote. Like yeah. This is the very early days. So there was a company, I can't remember which company it was. It's been so long, but they needed to promote a game that was coming out. Mm-hmm. So they came up to me at that time and like, Danny, we would love to work with other podcasters and other creators. Is there anybody that you could, you know, recommend us? We would love for you to also maybe do like a panel or Q&A roundtable with them and also with the dev team. We're like, yeah, sure. So I recommend them. People that I felt like they do great, great content. And then I know that they're just good at asking questions and all that. So I gave them a list and they invited, I believe, like 80% of the people that I sent them on that list and including me. And yes. we went, we got to play the game early. Some of the people that got invited was their first time at the studio, and they'd never gotten like a hands-on event, never been to E3. This was like really cool experience, you know. So and yeah, and we had a great time. We sat down with the dev team and the rest is history, you know. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really important for everybody to help each other out, you know, and these days it goes a lot further than you think it does. And the same goes for creators. You know, you see a lot of the biggest creators collaborate with others and they have a group of friends that they like to uplift and include in the things that they do. And there's a reason for that. You know, you go further when you go together. And mm-hmm. that is absolutely applicable here. I know as a marketer, again, I'd much rather give a review code to a creator who I know has a lot of friends they're going to talk about it with than mm-hmm. somebody who only ever does stuff on their own.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
it'll go further.
And also, not only that, you know, maybe you will give a game or product to somebody. It doesn't have to be a review or a preview, but maybe they'll do something creatively. They're like, wow, that's really cool. So like an example, I got, and I knew, I think this is when we started talking at that time, I think. Yeah, we were talking at that time.
Throwback.
We were talking. Yeah, where, you know, Xbox gave me, sent me the Xbox One. Xbox Series X early. It was like a mm-hmm. month early or something like that. And I knew that everybody was going to post a preview of the product, right?
Of course.
Or a review, whatever it is. So I decided something new, like, hey, let's invite someone that has never experienced this and let this person play for like an hour, you know. And I recorded that, and it got a lot of attention. You know, even though folks from Xbox were like, wow, that's pretty cool. We were not expecting this.
You okayed it with them ahead of time.
Of course, I gave them the heads up, and they mm-hmm. said that's cool, go for it. But they didn't know exactly what I was going to do, like how I was going to do it, because I was trying to surprise one of our listeners that was locally in New York. You know, so I think that's also important. Where advice for creators: if you get a product, you know, don't. Sometimes it's cool to do the traditional let's play or review or unboxing. But how about if you do something different that nobody else is doing, because that will get a lot of attention, lots of attention. Like this creator that I seen on Twitter, she uses the Dance Dance Revolution pad.
Yeah.
And she plays Elden Ring mm-hmm. and passes a bunch of bosses. She completed the whole game just using that, the control of the Dance Dance Revolution. You know, like that is really cool. Nobody's doing that. You know, that's something creative. Very difficult, you know, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's really
and,
cool.
And in addition to thinking of things that nobody's doing, maybe someone else is doing it, but if you do it your way.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, make it true to you. If it's involving another hobby that you love or a talent that you have, like make sure it's something that's personal to you. That makes it go a lot further and making something feel authentic and relatable and, you know, going for engagement, which is what all of this is about.
Yep. Anything else, Ree? I think we did a 30-minute mark. almost.
Yeah, for those who've been keeping track, our episodes, we usually try to get between 20 and 30 minutes because, you know, we don't want them to be too long. We are busy parents, just like a lot of you out there. So we respect mm-hmm. the limited time you might have for your podcasting, listening, or viewing pleasures. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. You know, just... if you're looking to get on the radar of companies to get preview access or review access to things or going to events or potentially even consult with them, just be vocal about what you love. I think that's step one, right? Like, be really vocal about what you love with your audience, with the people who are pulling the strings behind the scene, and it will eventually get you noticed. You know, there's a lot of opportunities out there. Like I said, there's so many games that come out every year, and all of them need support. So maybe it's not the big, huge releases to start. Maybe it's, you know, smaller indie games or titles that have a little bit more of a niche audience. But yeah, just tell people what you're really vibing with and what you enjoy, and you'll find your voice is heard a lot more.
Definitely. But everyone, thank you for watching this episode of the Danny Arellano Show. Make sure to subscribe, like our videos, post a comment, share the content. If you're listening to the podcast, share the content to your friends. It's super easy. You can do that through your text or WhatsApp, social media, whatever. Just spread the word about us, man. No, and more importantly, post a review. I think it really will help us, go top of the charts.
Yeah, speaking of feedback and engagement, we're looking for more. Let us know what you think of the show, what your thoughts are on, you know, how people get review codes, and if you think there's a better way, you know, like whatever you're thinking.
Definitely. All right, so until next time, we're out. Take care. Bye.